Blog Talk Radio. Welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast that loves you. Hey, I am your hostess, your cruise director and spiritual advisor, Madame Perry, but you can call me Jen, Jennifer, JP, Perry. It's all good. I'm just glad to be here and glad that you are too. And thank you so much to everybody who's been following and subscribing on different podcast platforms. And also for the reviews that you leave on Stitcher and iTunes, I really appreciate those, especially when you tell me, you know, the things that you like about the show. The fact that some people say, and I've had this on, I think on more than one review, you like it that I bring in people that you know, people that are well known, some authors or musicians or so forth. And then you tell me that you also like it when I bring somebody brand new to you that you get to know. So, which is oddly enough, I told someone that even sometimes when we have anthrozoologists or NASA JPL experts on here, or sometimes those are the funniest guests of all, and get a pretty big following. So thank you. Also, just one more time, if you want to win a book, last week we had Julie Blomeke, the poet. Her book, Slide to Unlock. We also had Matt Coyle with The Sixth in his Rick Cahill Detective Series. If you want to win either of their books, you can still message me. We haven't had the drawing yet for that. Also, somebody else asked, Jane asked me, I think it was Jane in Maryland, sent me a message, what about The Magic Pants, okay, by Franny Goldie and her company, her website, FranneGoldie. Yes, that is the Franny Goldie who wrote Night Shift for the Commodores, Dreamin' for Selena, Stick With You for Pussycat Dolls, and she's written so many songs that you already know and love that have won or been nominated for Grammy Awards. And if you go to her website, Franny Goldie, and by whether the magic pants that you see in Oprah magazine or anything on the site, when you get ready to check out, your code is MPS, the initials of Madame Perry Salon. Just put that in there, and Franny will give you a discount. Is that sweet or what? Anyway, so again, thank you so much for listening and for being here. In the genie bottle, that is Madame Perry Salon. I want to say I am so psyched. Listen, I've been getting messages at home about my guest tonight, and why not? If you're somewhere close to my age, you feel like you've known him all your life, first from the TV show Happy Days, which is still in reruns whenever or everywhere all over the world, and since then you know him from several TV shows. Oh my gosh, several doesn't even count. Multiple TV shows, films, stage plays, and he's also a singer. And I'm just going to quit trying to babble my way through like a fangirl and say, welcome Don Most to Madame Perry Salon. Come on in. Sit down. Wait. I think I kind of lost you there. So wait. Now. Now, excuse me.
There
I'm here in the genie bottle. I know it's a little dark. It's a little dark in here. Just kind of sit down on the cushion, get comfortable. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you, Madam Perry. Thanks for having me. It's good to talk to you.
I am thrilled to have you here. Yeah, I didn't know. One of the guests on one of my first shows went back and told everybody on social media, I've been to Madame Perry's salon. It looks like the inside of Jeannie's bottle. So after that, you know, I kind of warned people, you know, to get a nice cushion seat and
okay.
A little damp, but just relax. You're safe here. It's a good, safe place.
Oh, good.
I don't know where. You're quite welcome. Listen, I don't know where to begin, but you've got, you know, we've all known you and loved you and followed you for years, been fans, and your music, you know, when you sing, some people would say, you know, well, it's Sinatra-like because of swing. I think you've got a big influence from from Bobby Darin.
Yeah, definitely. Darin was a big influence on me. You know, and he was a huge fan of Sinatra. And so it's, you know, it's kind of the same feel and style, although, you know, Bobby had his own thing. And I love Sinatra, listened to him a lot, and a lot of the greats, a lot of the great jazz singers I listened to. It was funny, I loved a lot of, I almost listened to more of the female jazz singers, you know, like Ella Fitzgerald and Dinah Washington, I loved, Sarah Vaughan, but then, you know, there was Sinatra and Joe Williams with the Basie Band, I loved a lot. But then Darin, you know, when I was very young, I got introduced to him, and there was something about Bobby that really got me. And I think it was because Bobby embraced, you know, and he was from a different generation and more of the rock and roll generation, and he loved the standards and blues and jazz, but he also, you know, absorbed and took in a lot of the music of that era. So it gave him a different element that added to the standards, and I think that's what did it. And I got to see him at the Copacabana in New York when I was 18, and he was phenomenal. And so yeah, but my CD that's out called Mostly Swinging, it has a lot of the songs, you know, Sinatra recorded, one that Bobby did, and then, you know, a bunch of others. But they were all such great influences, you know. I mean, you know, we owe so much to all of them.
Oh, indeed. And everyone you mentioned is just a treasure unto themselves. And I thought back in the early, the aughts, like after 2000 or 2001, when flights were so cheap for a while, I would go up to New York or to L.A. or San Francisco because you could get a round-trip flight from Atlanta for about, I don't know, $60 or something. And I started following. I got one of my favorite singers, Anita O'Day.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've never gotten to,
yeah,
I've never
I got
seen
to,
her live, but I've listened to her a lot. Oh, that's great. You got to see her. How cool.
Yeah. And I got to know her and her manager. So I would go, I'd work her merch table and stuff like that. And, it was great.
Yeah.
I'm such a fan, and then to find out you could get out and see her and also Annie Ross.
Oh yeah, of Hendrix, Lambert,
yeah.
Hendrix and Ross. Oh, that's great. I would have loved to. I never got to see them live or Annie, but I certainly love their music.
Oh, aren't they the best? And I never saw them as a group. I saw John Hendrix, in Atlanta.
Oh.
Yeah, and I saw Annie,
okay,
too. Separately, though, I saw Annie at, I think it's called Danny's Skylight in New York, and I saw John Hendrix in Atlanta.
Oh, great. That must have been great.
Yeah, and it was with Cassandra Wilson, and it was just great. So so when you sing, though, I mean, because, like, when I've got your CD, I've got mostly swinging, but also when I can watch you on videos and things, since hopefully when we're all able to travel again and do things, hopefully you'll come to Atlanta and perform. Maybe.
Yeah, I would love
if
to.
If not,
I would. Yeah, you know what? I might be. I've been talking to someone. See, I about a month ago or a little longer, 5-6 weeks ago, I did a play in Marietta. At the Strand Theater in Marietta, which is, you know, just outside of Atlanta. And, it was a new play. And then the artistic director is talking to me about bringing me in to do my music at that theater at the Strand. So, you know, when this does blow over, there's a good chance I'll be doing you know, one of my shows over there. Maybe Atlanta too. I'll see if I can, you know, get a couple of bookings. That would be good.
Yeah, Marietta, Atlanta, they're close enough to where you want to change hotels, but they're far enough to where you can fill up, you know, two separate venues.
That'd be good.
That'd be nice. That'd be great for us. You can tell I'm an entertainment publicist. I'm already thinking ahead. He's got a venue. We'll fill this one. We'll get that one. He can just go across. Yeah, so I'm already.
Yeah, I like.
It's not
like
even my gig. I'm already working it.
Good.
So, yeah, I thought about, I just love to hear you sing. One of my favorite songs, Let's Fall in Love. And I love when you do
that.
I just want you to go. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was, when I was picking songs with my producer, a fabulous musician, Willie Murillo, who was the producer and arranger on the CD, and he also plays trumpet. And when I played him that song, you know, I think I played Sinatra's version and maybe somebody else's, and he said, you know, I love that song. He goes, I think we should do that in a little bit of a Latin style. And I said, really? You know, I've never heard that. And he said, yeah. And he kind of gave me a little sense of what it might sound like. And I went, that sounds really cool. Yeah, let's do it. So, it came out great. You know, a lot of people, have responded to that because they've never heard it done that way. And it works. It works really well.
Something.
Did I lose you?
I don't know. Of course.
I'd lost you for a second. I hope you heard me.
Yes, I did. Yes.
Ah, okay, good. We're going in and out.
Yeah.
I hope it's, yeah, it might be my connection because I'm. It could be me because I'm in a little bit of a questionable cell zone. But hopefully you hear it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, we should. Sometimes things sound bad, sometimes, but they come out okay in the end on the tape. I don't know how. It's just that kind of magic. But
good.
Yeah, sometimes songs. Of course, you have a band. When you sing, you have a big band. And they're doing what you want them to do.
Yeah.
Whereas when I had a jazz, yeah.
Yeah. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue.
No, I was just going to say, when I had a jazz band and did a lot of work, sometimes I'd have different musicians for the afternoon and the evening gig. And so depending on, you know, who was in the rhythm section, it could be swing or it could be Latin by the next time we did the song. So I never knew. It was the rhythm section all the way. You know, they ran the place, but I was just lucky to have them. I kept going. And I even have a CD of Anita O'Day with Cal Jader, where he took a lot of things, you know, with the vibes and did a little Latin. So that's cool, too. So, yeah. Now let's go to also your, because I know I've got a limited amount of time with you. In the decades past, you know, you came on Happy Days. From what I understand, from what I read, you weren't really planning a career in show business. You were going to study engineering or something?
No, not really. No, not at all. What happened was I knew I wanted, I started pursuing, you know, going to schools. And I grew up in Brooklyn, and I was going to schools in Manhattan for singing, dancing, acting, was starting when I was like 13, 14. Then I wound up then switching my focus more towards acting because I was singing in nightclubs when I was 15 up in the Catskill Mountains during the summer. And then I switched gears into acting and got serious with that and started working in New York and doing a lot of commercials, a little TV. But my parents didn't want me. They wanted me to have a backup because they knew how precarious a career in show business is. So I went to Lehigh University as an engineering major, and that was the fallback plan, you know, if I needed something solid. But I was pursuing with great fervor and determination the acting career. That's what I really was, you know, had laser focus on.
Mm. So you just kind of burst into our homes and our hearts with Happy Days as Ralph, and then I mean, just from then on, you've done so much TV and so many films. I mean, you've directed,
yeah.
You've written. There's got to be, you know, when you're doing, years ago when we would watch, you know, the series things like, whether it was Love Boat or things like that, that had, you know, different people every week from different characters or different actors. And then later on, like I said, maybe in the last 10 years, you've done so many things like The Bold and the Beautiful, and you did a recurring character on Glee. I think you've been on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Have you seen very much a lot of difference in show business and television specifically and in your career, for better or worse?
I don't know. I don't watch, you know, I'm not like one of, I used to watch a lot when I was young, and I don't watch a lot of television. I think the biggest change that I see is that I think the dramas are better than they were back in the day that I was in, because they had to shoot them so quickly. They didn't have enough time, and, you know, there was enough money spent on them. And now I think, you know, the level on some of the dramas on some of the, you know, whether it be Netflix's or Amazon Prime's or HBO's and other networks, they've gotten better, where I don't know that the comedies have. I think, you know, comedy's a different animal, and there were some great comedies back, you know, when I was on television and before and a little after. So that would be the biggest change that I see. I think the comedies might not be quite as good, but the dramas are better. that's how I kind of see it.
Yeah, I can see that. Now, you've also got, let me tell you, you had a part on Family Guy, the animated show. Was that fun?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was just I came in to do my own voice. They did a little spoof on me, and they asked if I wanted to come in and voice myself. They didn't know if I would take offense at it, but I thought it was a very, very funny little scene that they created about me. So I said, yeah, no, I'll come in. So I did that. But I would like to say, you know, as of late, I've been doing, you know, it was a little, as much as I'd done, it was still hard to break away, you know, from Happy Days was such a success. And when I left the show after my contract was up, it was still ran for 4 more years, because I knew I needed to try to break away and if I wanted to have a long career. And it was hard. But in the last, you know, 5-10 years, and I think it's one of the advantages, I guess, of getting older in my case, is that it's helping, because it's creating, there's more time and distance between then and now. And a lot more interesting parts are coming to me, and I'm getting a chance to do varied roles, you know, a lot of different kinds, which I love. There's a movie that's out right now. It just came out about 2 months ago on Amazon Prime. It's called MBF, a.k.a. Man's Best Friend, and very powerful movie. I play a defense attorney, and very different kind of role. And then I did another movie called Lost Heart, coming out in the fall, again, a very different kind of role. And then there's a few things that are running right now online that are also very different, and we could talk about them if you'd like. But it's just that, you know, a lot of different kinds of parts, theater and movies and television are you know, it's opening up again, which I love.
Yeah, so currently on Amazon Prime is MBF, stands for Man's Best Friend, and the film that's coming in the fall is...
Yeah, that's called Lost Heart.
Lost Heart.
And it's a great script, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how, you know, I haven't seen the film yet, I can't wait. And I did something that was a lot of fun, with the wonderful actor, comedian Robert Wool, and a series, a producer friend of mine came to me and said he's starting a series, and he was going to put it online, called Viral Vignettes, and it was geared towards what's happening right now with us, with everyone staying at home, And it's taking two well-known actors, and each, and just like a little scene, maybe 10 minutes long. Each episode will be two different actors, or sometimes the characters might come back and repeat, you know, be in another episode. And they're playing characters who, for whatever reason, you know, are communicating with each other because they can't get together. So they're communicating, you know, over Skype, like we all seem have to do, you know, whether it be Skype or Zoom or whatever, or Facebook, you know, Messenger, whatever the technique is. And so and we shot it, and it was great script by Fred Stroppel, very funny. And we shot it, you know, all remotely. You know, the producer was in his place in New Jersey with setting it all up, and I'm in my office, and Robert Wool's in his, you know, in his room, in his house, and we shot the scene. You know, we're playing characters that are old, are cousins that haven't seen each other in a while, and they're catching up with each other. And it's very funny. So people can check that out on YouTube. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, and I'll be sharing the link to that, too, on my social media, because it is funny. Because it's got that kind of give and take that, I guess, because, you know, Robert, the characters are supposed to be like old friends that can know when to jab each other and when to say what they, you know, say what they really think.
Yeah.
But it is funny. It's funny.
It's very good. Very good. I did another one of those, which will come out in a few weeks. I did another one with a different. This time with an actress, a wonderful actress, Gail O'Grady, that will be out in a few weeks. Yeah, she's terrific, and I saw the finished version of it. It came out great. I think people are going to love that one too. So it's a very they have a lot of good people. They released one last week with Barry Bostwick in it, and then one coming up soon with John Schneider and Max Gale. And then, like I said, I did another one with Gail. So people could check it out. You know, it's on YouTube, and you'll have the link. So that's great. And
I'll be sharing that with everybody.
Cool. And one other thing I'd like to mention is I did something with my old buddy Anson Williams from Happy Days. Anson and I are great friends. We're really great friends. And we had done this a few years ago, but the producer, the same producer as Viral Vignettes, did this. He decided to release it now, thought it was a perfect time with everyone staying at home and needing new content to watch. So we released it just a few weeks ago, and it was a TV pilot. This particular episode was called Harvest Time, and Anson and I play brothers, and it's completely different than what you've seen us on Happy Days. I mean, it is like night and day, and that's why it was so much fun. And it's a little raw. The language can get raw, so you know, it's PG-14, but it is very funny in a dark, comedic way, and it also gets pretty heavy and a little intense. That's something people could check out. It's called Harvest Time on YouTube, and you could just put in either of our names with the search, and it'll come up.
Yeah, just go YouTube Harvest Time with Anson Williams or with Don Most, and you'll find it. And yeah, you're right. It's like when you start watching it, it's, you know, you're trying to get the thing with the two guys before you realize they're brothers. And yeah, it's got some, it is a kind of a you guys,
it's,
I don't,
it's
you
a dark.
Said you hadn't
it's
acted
a darker
together
piece.
In a long time. Yeah.
That was the first time. Yeah, you see, the idea from the producer was to take two actors who are like sort of iconic that you know from a certain show, and you loved seeing them together because they had great chemistry and they worked so well together, and take that and put them at something completely different, but they'll still, you'd want to see them together and they still have a chemistry, but now they're in something that is so different, and you see how it can translate. And the material was written by the same writer, Fred Stroppel, who's an award-winning New York playwright, and the material is just great. So people can check that out. They'll be definitely surprised and a little bit taken aback at first, but then the response has been fabulous. People say, you know, they got sucked. After a minute or two, they forgot that we were Ralph and Potsy, and they just got sucked into the story, you know? So,
yeah.
So, I think you should definitely check that out.
Yeah, and I'll share the links for that too, folks, you know, on all my social media, either as Madam Perry as well as Jennifer Perry, because, and that, yeah, the thing is too, because I guess because, you know, you haven't worked together, but because you're such pros and because you know what to do, you have a very interesting way in that, from the script, from this great script, and because of you, there's a tension and a humor that you both balance, and it's like you're talking about watching something on TV, and one says, well, let's watch NASCAR, and the other says, no, let's watch golf. I don't want to watch the country club asshole swinging a stick around. And it's like, and then you start laughing at the guy, come back to what's going on, and then you start laughing, you know, you kind of, you really, really have a good skill with it, between the script and you two guys. Well, you and Anson working together, you really get us lost in something, and then you pull us back to the series. You just, it's great. It's a good piece.
Oh, thank you.
Good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, we're really proud of how that came together. And Anson directed that one. He did a great job of you know, designing how the cameras should shoot it, and it worked out great. And then I guess maybe the last thing I'd like to mention before I go is I'm working on a new CD with a producer in Nashville, a great producer named Tony Mantor, and it's going to have a bunch of jazz standards again, but different, not the big band. It's going to be more contemporary sound, jazz sound. And then we even mixed in some 70s R&B and 70s kind of rock, but with a cool vibe to it. So, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send you a sampler, you know, just a little sampler of some of the CDs, so you could hear. I want you to hear it and see what you think. Okay. So I'll be sending that to you.
Oh, that is sweet. That is great. Will I be able to play it on the air?
Yeah, you can.
Maybe.
You can indeed.
Yay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, because I don't know when the CD is going to be out yet. The problem is we couldn't finish because I was supposed to go back to Nashville about 3 weeks ago, but now that's all on hold. So I don't know when it's going to come out. but people
I saw
get a little
I saw
taste
a clip.
Of it.
Oh yeah. Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, that would be magic. I saw a little clip of something a few weeks ago and says, oh, Don Moe's back in Nashville, and he's in Nashville recording, thinking, okay, good, some fresh stuff. This will be cool. And then, everything kind of, hopefully we don't have to wait too long.
Yeah, not too long. Definitely. Anyway, I really, I'm glad that you invited me on. It's really nice to get to talk to you. And we'll have to do it again sometime, okay?
It's an absolute thrill. Don Most, thank you so much for being here in the Genie Bottle of Madam Perry Salon. By the way, tomorrow night my guest is Bruce Sudano, and he'll be fun too. You probably know him. He's for the band's Alive and Kickin' Brooklyn Dreams, or with his wife, Donna Summer. And by the way, before I go, you met your wife on an episode of Happy Days when she was acting, and she's pretty busy lady too. So are you still getting along right now in the confines of the quarantine?
yeah, we've been married now 38 years, and yes, we met.
Wow.
She did a couple of guest roles on Happy Days, and that's how we met. And then 2 years later, got married, and we're doing fine. Thank you for asking. We're doing just fine. Okay.
Well, I'm not trying to get in your business, Don. I know she's also an actor and a producer and does a lot of things, but you know, it's like when people ask, I say, well, as long as we're still making each other laugh, I figure we're doing good. And then today I hear, you know, all these parodies of songs that are coming out on YouTube now about the isolation, and some of them are really good. And one was a duo.
Yeah.
You remember the song Jolene by Dolly Parton?
I don't know.
Everybody
if I know
knows
that
Jolene.
Song. Probably
you've
if
got
I heard
to know
it.
Jolene.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the whole
sure
thing is
her
singing Jolene, please don't take my man. Well,
okay.
This song she's saying Jolene, please come and get my man. So anyway, all right.
That's funny.
Since we got Bruce Sudano coming tomorrow night, I'll send you the link. Since we got Bruce Sudano coming tomorrow night, I'm going to play his acoustic version of Bad Girls that he wrote with his wife Donna Summer. And Don Most. I'll be sharing all the links for everything and for your CD, The Most Mostly Swinging. It has been an absolute thrill to have you here. Thank you so much. Oh. Please come back anytime.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure, and you stay safe. Stay well.
You too. You and yours. Thank you.
You see, I'm out on the street at night, picking up all kinds of strangers. The price is right. You can't score if your pocket's tight. Do you want a good time? You ask yourself who they are. Like anybody else, they come from near and far. Bad girls talking about the sad girls. Sad, 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 sad girls.